PBB Weekly number 145, recorded live on Saturday, March 27th, 2010. Live Bird Evasion. Hello, welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 145 for Saturday, March 27th, 2010. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell from Washington, D.C.
And a very tired David Lewis from Washington State.
Who's so tired that he didn't make a name up for himself this time.
That's right.
It's been a while since you've done that, actually.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. Maybe I'll think of something midway through.
Yeah, we went skiing yesterday at the large resort about 2 hours away and skied so hard and so long. We got back. We couldn't move. I mean, we couldn't even walk. It was bad.
Ouch. There you go. It's been had a couple of crazy early Saturdays for me. I know, David, you can't stand the thought of waking up early. 2 weeks ago, got up very early to go to the Monumental Meetup.
You know, I was about.
And then last week I canceled the show because I had to go to a parliamentarians convention.
Convention.
Yeah, and actually it's a good thing I canceled the show because it went longer than I thought it was, so I would have missed it anyway.
Hey, now you remember I told you I was going to be up, and I was up before the show actually started that week, but I had somewhere to go to.
Yeah, the Monumental Meetup week, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was up. And in fact, yesterday, I was also up early, 7 o'clock.
Well, we got started like 40 minutes late anyway. So, yeah, we actually we had a great time at the Monumental Meetup in D.C. 2 weeks ago. It was really just myself. Support team leader Yuri Rusko came down from New York with two of his buddies. I don't remember one of his buddies was also named Yuri. So yeah, we had two Yuris. That was kind of
that's interesting.
Yeah, you know how much trouble I have when there's two Davids on the show.
Yep.
But two Yuris, it's like, ugh. And I was like, you know, remember back when the first time you came on the show and I called him Yurly?
Yurly, yes.
Because I just thought that the I looked like an L.
Yeah.
It still looks like an L, actually, in Skype. Ugh, it's awkward. So, but yeah, the library turned out to be not quite as nice as we hoped because, I mean, they're all supposed to have Wi-Fi, but apparently this one did not have Wi-Fi on the second floor,
ouch,
where the meeting room is. So I will do some better planning if this ever happens again because they do have better libraries. I just booked it too late to get one of the better ones. So we actually went back to Yuri's hotel down the street and up to his room, and we did a short show there with video, and it has not been released yet because I, A, have been busy, B, I've been lazy, and C, I'm still waiting to get the video from Yuri's cohorts.
That's a bad combination.
Yes. Busy and lazy.
Yes.
Only I can do that. No, but afterwards, we actually trekked over to the museum, the one that I really want to take David to. And we had a great time there. I just got a thing for my parents. I don't know why, but they gave me like a press pass membership there, which essentially means I have unlimited admission there and could get other people discount admission. So we all went there, had a lot of fun. The guys really liked it. Yuri told me, you know, he didn't think it'd be that interesting, but he really liked it. And we had a lot of fun there. Then I took him over to my favorite place in the entire D.C. region, which is Ben's Chili Bowl up on the street. Absolutely delicious. We went there. Birdie joined us and ate. I don't think. Actually, no, he didn't. I think he left Birdie behind. Okay, Birdie didn't get to join us to eat this time. But oh well. Actually, the main Chili Bowl was very crowded, unusually crowded. I don't know why. So we went to their restaurant next door, but we still ordered from across the way. So we had a lot of fun there. The guy was great. And then he went back to his hotel room, chilled for a little bit, and then I headed back up here. They stuck around for another 2 or 3 days. The weather could have been better. It was kind of rainy and dreary and crap that on that Saturday. So, but oh well, that's the sacrifice you make for planning events, you know, 8 months in advance. You don't know what, because Mother Nature does not plan 8 months in advance, but at least didn't schedule it for February. That would have been bad. So, but you know, we had fun. I mean, I'm sure the other guys had fun. They stuck doing some more touring the later days. They really like. They're apparently also public transit geeks, so they loved the metro down here. Great metro system. So That was essentially what we did.
Big City Boys.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes to show, you don't have to have a huge, huge event to have a meetup. Even if there's a couple of guys, you're still getting to know some people you wouldn't get to know otherwise. Except
those are still so much fun. And even we've gone over to Seattle and just met with Brainy, mm-hmm. also known as Colin, and a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And those are always so much fun. And you get to talk about stuff in real life that you somehow never get. It's just not the same talking to somebody over the internet as it is talking to somebody in real life. So that's kind of nice.
Absolutely. Did I play Sneaky Simian asked? Did I play Guess Which Yuri Is Which? No, we did lose one of the Yuris every once in a while. I couldn't get them to do the do your own newscast with me at the museum, though, David. I really want us to...
Really?
Yeah, I want us, you and I, whenever you can come down to D.C., we're going to go do that. We're going to do scoff news at the museum with a green screen. They have a green... They put you in front of a green screen.
Maybe we can find somewhere in Portland to do that for OSCON.
Maybe. Well,
because I know I'm coming to Portland, but I don't know.
Me too.
We have no plans coming to D.C. Eventually, I'd like to get there, but that could be 5 years from now, for all I know.
Well, I'll be here for another three, so do it by 2013, and we'll be fine. I mean, we have a lot of other meetups to talk about. You mentioned OSCON. They literally, I think it was like the last day or two, just opened up their, announced their program and opened up early registration. You can actually find that over at OSCON.com. So not much has actually changed from last year, at least in terms of the conference details are concerned. Registration, if you get an exhibit only, hall only pass, it's still free. So, and if you're watching on our stream, I'm now showing off my computer desktop on Ustream, so as another incentive to watch live, but you can kind of see it here. So it's entirely free. I'm not sure if the fee versions of them are more expensive, though. Certainly, the early bird price goes till June 2nd, and it's pretty good. But of course,
well, yeah, to be there during the sessions. I mean, I don't see them making that any cheaper than they had last year.
Yeah, if you book right now, even if you go to just one of the tutorial days on Monday or Tuesday, it's still $600. If you want to go to the sessions, you're looking at $1,150. Of course, if you went last year, you got a discount. Or if you're a student, you can also get a discount, apply for a discount. So there's another number of opportunities. But really, just coming for free at the expo hall, there's all kinds of things you can do for free there. The expo hall is open on Wednesday and Thursday. That's the 21st and 22nd, I believe. And there's a lot of stuff to see at the expo hall. Especially this year, where PHPBB will be there, so it should be a lot of fun. There's all these networking events they do, including like OS Camp, other events in the Expo Hall. They feed you a lot in the Expo Hall. that was a lot of fun. All the Birds of a Feather sessions, which we'll probably try to get one of those for this year. So those are all free if you get an Expo Hall pass. And if you're going to come to like our meetup, OSConvasion, or even just to see PHPBB, you do need to get register at least for an Expo Hall pass so you can actually do anything.
And I remember specifically getting sick on ice cream, almost sick on ice cream, that they feed you so much ice cream there in the Expo Hall that it was like, okay, I better stop.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And cookies and coffee and stuff. They know what programmers run on. So we don't know what we're going to... I don't know what we're going to do yet. Obviously, there is an OSConvasion topic in the events and meetings forum. And the PHPBB teams are also going to be doing some things. So... Now that the program has been announced, it's probably going to be high time to start making advanced plans for this, try to figure out what we can do. And since it's really early on, I think doing a Birds of a Feather session at the convention center would be great, but it'd be nice if we can maybe get a little more time, like 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So I might see about that. But if you have any ideas or thoughts or suggestions of things we could do at OSCON this year, please head over to the OSConvasion 2010 topic on phpbb.com. Offer some suggestions because we still need to start doing some early discussions of it, but we'll obviously be covering it very closely. So it should be a lot of fun. And as for PHPB Weekly, David, I think you're going to bring your camera along, and we're probably going to try to do some filming around at the expo hall.
And we'll do lots of filming and interviews and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't get us a media pass because we're not entirely a qualified, comprehensive media journalism organization.
Oh, Scoff News isn't?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I know. You got to wait till I get my degree in a couple of years, but I don't think we're going to count it for media registration, so we'll just have to go as ourselves, but that's all right. My organization, as I registered, is PHPBB Weekly. That's who I'm representing, so... No, we'll have a lot of fun. So, in Portland, Oregon, it's still very early on. You can book your flights. There's local hotels that you can actually get at the OSCON rate. Another great reason of doing this alongside an existing convention is that you can then, be able to get there. These are pretty good rates. Like the Red Lion Hotel, the convention center, is only like $125 a night plus tax. So, of course, I actually have a friend who's actually... Sorry, and of course, if you didn't hear before, our old friend Laurel Van Fossen is going to be there. She lives in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually going to be being very nice and letting me stay in her spare bedroom.
That is very nice.
Thank you, Laurel. She's even letting me use her hot tub if I want, but I probably won't. I'm not a hot tub bag of a person. No, but that should be great. She will be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Because she's a riot, even though she has nothing to do with PHPBB, she still knows a lot of stuff about
open source,
on the internet, and
communities.
Open source.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's her realm, anyways.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun on our last appearance here, and that was when I found out I won the computer. I wonder if I'll do that again this year.
Hey, we'll give it another go.
Will lightning strike the same place twice? That's our pitch to come to OSCON.
Will lightning strike the same place twice? Okay, all right.
Probably will not. And then, literally 30 days after OSCON, we now have this new announcement that came out right before, about 2 weeks ago.
March 12th.
We haven't gotten to give it much attention to it yet, but we'll read it from the guy who has 26,666 posts himself. Yuri Rusko.
That's an interesting number.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary number, but I just noticed. Post 26666. Liberty Evasion 2010 in New York City, August 21st. The obvious question first. David, are you going?
I'd love to go, but I do not know yet. I do not know if I can go.
You're not on the teams anymore, so you can't get a free trip.
Yeah, that's a factor. For sure.
Yeah.
Cost is also a factor. It's much cheaper for me to go to Portland right now than it would be to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to justify it. Or a lot of things would have to change between now and then for me to be able to go.
I'd
love to go.
I can't say for certain yet if I'm going, but I very much want to go. And I know the timing is wonderful because that is literally the Saturday right before my classes start. So
mm-hmm.
I will already be in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I could, if I can come up with scrounge up the money, take a train up to New York and back, and I actually came up with like this mock itinerary, which would allow me to be able to get to New York and back without having to stay in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It involves me leaving at like 1 a.m. on the Saturday morning from here, getting there just in time for the event, and then leaving from there and getting back here at about 3 a.m. the next morning.
Okay.
I know, I'm crazy, but it sounds...
That is crazy.
I can sleep on the train. It's like a 3 or 4 hour ride.
Yep. Hey, I remember when we were in London for London Vision, and the group of guys went out to tour London,
mm-hmm.
and we walked so much and saw so much that by the on our train ride back, everybody sort of fell asleep on the train. It was really, really funny.
There you go. Actually, it looks like it's going to be. Very interesting conference. He was honest with us during the meetup, so he talked a little bit about it then. But where is he? I just noticed that he misspelled Liberty Evasion. He called it Liberty Evasion. Does that mean there's going to be a lot of beer there? It's going to be bad for your liver. I don't know. No, it's actually going to be the schedule makes it look like it's going to be relatively long compared to last year. It's going from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So a lot of different talks, about 9 different sections for different presentations, including plus a lunch break and another late afternoon break. And then there's a social event that evening to go be at some unnamed restaurant. We actually don't know where the venue is going to be either. We just know it's going to be somewhere in Times Square. David, however, I don't remember exactly how London Invasion was like. What were some of your thoughts from London Invasion in terms of things that they could have done better, and maybe will do better this time?
It's hard to say. It actually went pretty well, I thought. Maybe more cameras to edit into the film sessions. I don't know. Did he have two or just one?
I think it was one.
Yeah, I thought it was just one, too. One, two. Yeah, I thought it was just one.
I thought it was just two, three.
Right. That would have been nice to be able to stream it. Would have been cool. But, I don't think that would be a priority. But I thought that would just be kind of interesting to stick on the front page of phpb.com, sort of like this, this meeting is actually going on live. There were several days, first of all. He had team meetings, and then there was the public meetings. And
on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Actually, on Sunday last year.
After being at Joomla, I felt like, some things could change, but it wasn't, wasn't a whole lot. As long as, it's like, if everybody can talk like David Rathbun, then, hey, you have no problems at all.
There you go.
But not everybody is a David Rathbun, so...
I mean, this is certainly more accessible for us in the American areas. So last time we had it in Britain, so it's kind of interesting because pretty much Europe and the United States are the two kind of main hubs of team members currently. So alternate there.
I would say it's kind of interesting. Much of the development team was so busy programming constantly that they had a hard time concentrating on the actual. The event.
That's like, a sign that they're obsessed.
So it was
kind of
funny.
They need help, perhaps. I think this is looking like a very certainly one of the things they're definitely doing here better is they're actually anticipating it being a public conference, whereas before we remember them saying we originally were just going to do this as private team meetings and then decided to have a public aspect to it.
Right. I would like to see more. I don't think they're doing this yet. More marketing of it to let people know.
Well, they have a countdown on their site. It's only 5 months, 25 days, 19 hours, 40 minutes, and 29 seconds left. Till then, as if anyone needs to have a countdown that far into the future.
Now, where's the countdown?
On the actual Liberty Invasion page.
There it is. Okay. I almost missed that. Boy.
Or
maybe that loaded.
That?
You know what it did? It loaded after the page loaded and that was still missing and then it loaded after that. So I'm like, where is it? There it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's really, really cool. So I like the banner they've got there.
There you go. I need to still see if I can be able to go. I might, maybe if people can donate to help us with the show, I can be able to be there. I'd like to be able to do a presentation, though, on how you can get yourself involved with the community in PHPB and, kind of number of different anecdotes, including some of my own experiences. So I think that that'd be kind of something along the lines of a presentation I wouldn't mind helping to fill up with so that those poor developers can keep developing. Satisfy their addiction of developing. Yuri's playing this event again as he did London Invasion, though the benefit is Yuri actually lives in New York City, so I'm sure he's finding it a lot easier to get this thing planned. They're going to have a cost to a nominal fee to register to make sure that people are not just registering and will not show up because they have to have an accurate headcount for the hotel they're going to be at. You can't register quite yet, but it's going to be Saturday, August 21st. I'm hoping to be there, and we'll see what happens. Though it should be a lot of fun, because with PHPBB already making their presence at OSCON, we're essentially going to have both a West Coast and an East Coast meetups this summer. Both of them very big ones, and I actually might be able to hit up both of them, which will be fun. But I'm really looking forward to this summer. It's going to be, you know, it's a very big summer for PHPBB, of course. It's the 10th anniversary. And we got a lot of big stuff planned for it, which is going to be great. So keep on looking into that. I just realized I have this up here twice. And so what else we got? Well, the other piece of news that came out during our interim was that PHPBB has officially moved its source code from Subversion to GitHub.
Woohoo!
This happened very early in the month, but after our last, you know, real episode. I haven't noticed much in terms of my end, because I just subscribed to the mailing list, other than that now the thing has been being posted by some guy named GitGate.
Yeah. Yes, well, it's not a guy, it's a thing. Although it's still a noun.
Really? I thought it was like Bill Gates' illegitimate twin brother or something. I don't know. Well, tell us about what this has been like, David, from your experience.
Well, first of all, it's awesome because Git is a much, much more powerful system than Subversion is. They are now doing merges between branches. So now the developers actually have their own forks, and also the junior developers have their own forks. And then when they commit something, essentially they'll give it to it looks like Naderman's been the one that's been making all the merges, but he just merges it from another repository. Mm-hmm. And then it merges it right in, or another branch, and then it merges right in. So it makes that portion certainly a lot easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to open up and anybody can do it. That's the nice thing, you know. Anybody, Joe Blow down the street, he can go see a bug in PHPBB, fork the PHPBB repository on GitHub, and then make the fix, and then tell Yuri that he's got the fix, and then Yuri would, or not Yuri, I'm sorry, Nils Naderman, and then Nils would just merge that fix in if he approved it, or you know, one of the other developers, whoever is in charge of that, they would just approve it. So that's that part I love. There are some people who, as expected, are not liking Git. Because it does have quite a learning curve. It's actually got a rather steep learning curve to it, and it does not work really well on Windows 7.
Mm. So David, I don't know if you, speaking of this learning curve, if you've seen the Git article on the development wiki, there is this insane, probably the weirdest, scariest flowchart I've ever seen. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
I might have. Let's see where it is. That's on the wiki.phppb.com,
like a,
right?
There's like a link there in the chat room. And I have, if you're watching on the stream, you can see it right now.
Flowchart. Okay.
Scroll down.
Yeah, see it.
Look for the colors. What the heck is going on?
So this is the development sort of Git timeline, I guess you could say, for PHPBB 3 and 3.1.
It certainly starts from from 3.0.7.
Right, because that's the first tag.
That's the first
tag. And this is how, if you're familiar with Git already, this looks familiar to you. But if you're not familiar,
you know, then it looks like the scariest thing in the world.
there's the release branches, which is the master branch. And then there's the bug fix branches and feature branches. And so what happens here, if I'm reading this correctly, and there's a lot here, so I'll try and follow this. So you have the develop-olympus branch, which is the development for 3.0.
Branches, yeah.
Right, that's, you know, development for 3.0.x. And then you have those. In the red dots are basically each commit level. So you have a bug fix for the next 3.0.x release, and you have several of those on the left side of the red dots, and then those are merged back into the main develop dash Olympus. So the bug fixes can be done by other developers, it can be done by junior developers or even other community members, and then those are merged back into develop dash Olympus. Once they figure they reach a stable point, then they'll release an RC face, like 3.0.8 RC face. Mm-hmm. They will also merge that over to the develop branch, which is 3.1. So let's see, the new feature for the next 3.x release is the purple branches. So you could see that the purple are, yeah, that's, well, it's more pink, I guess. Magenta. On the far left side. Yeah, magenta, thank you. On the far left side, those would be features developed. So then, you know, you have each time, it's really hard to explain. This is
I'm trying to annotate magenta, what you're saying with my mouse on the Ustream, but
so the magenta dots, those are the individual commits for new features for 3.1. That would be 3.1 is the next one. Okay, so then once new features are developed and those are approved, they're merged back into yellow. Mm-hmm. Yellow is the development branch for 3.1. Mm-hmm. So you can see that yellow progresses, more features are all developed these. For it.
On and the, there's also one example of a magenta set that just goes all the way off, and apparently it misses the feature freeze date, so it never comes back to the yellow. It's just saved for the following release, the X release, which is the 3.2.
Yes, so that magenta, that would be the feature freeze miss feature is now for 3.2. I don't know. It's not merging back into anything.
I think they're saving it for a future flowchart.
Right. It's like these particular branches, the features aren't finished on them.
That's farther in time. Because, of course, this y-axis is time going from today on top into future on the bottom.
Right, exactly. So that far, far left magenta line with dots is sort of like it could be larger features that are in progress but aren't finished in time for that 3.1 feature freeze.
Which is on May 31st this time.
Right, which would then see the only ones.
Two more months. How about that? Two more months before we know for sure what is and isn't in 3.1.
Those right side magenta dots, which are the commits for the features for 3.x, are merged back into yellow, and essentially the far left magenta dots, which are never merged back in, those are just features that I assume this is features that are in progress that are not done in time for that feature freeze and are therefore slated for the next development, which is 3.2.
So suggesting that when the magenta dots go back to the yellow, that means they're finished features.
And well, yellow, yeah, that's
yellow
yeah,
is of course based on what comes out of 3.0.7.
Right, so
but then it just has these magenta things added onto it, and then as appropriate, the red bug fixes get brought over to the yellow branch as well, so that the new version can benefit from those bug fixes.
Right, exactly. So you see that there's features that are merged into yellow, which is the development or for 3.1, and there's red, which are bug fixes that are also merged into yellow. So you get both the benefit of the bug fixes and the features merged into that 3.1 development branch. And are released for the 3.1 release, and that's that feature freeze, which is shown there with the dotted lines. So, there it says merge bug fixes from Olympus into Ascreus development, and then so that keeps that does a round trip. And then the blue on the far right, those are the actual tagged releases. So
the things you actually can then download.
Right, exactly. So you have the develop dash Olympus branch, which is the bug fixes and development of that, which is also start of branch prepare release for 3.0.8. Because what happens is that when they start to prepare a release for the next 3.0.x, they don't want to stop bug fixing for the normal 3.0.x, but they don't want to change 3.0. Let's say, for example, 3.0.8 is in development right now.
Yes.
And once they get to an RC phase for 3.0.8, you don't want to change it a whole lot. The only reason that you want to change it if there's something that went wrong, you know, So you'll have, like, let's say a developer is still fixing bugs. He's still doing lots of bug fixes and lots of bug fixes. Well, you don't want to keep merging that into the RC phase of 3.0.8.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, that's a separate branch. That's why 3.0.8, it stays stable until the RC phase is complete, which would be, the testing is done. Any bug fixes that need to go into that release are then merged into both red and green. And then once 3.0.8 RC phase is considered stable, it's merged into blue or tagged, essentially.
And then
it's
released.
Tagged as 3.0.8.
And of course, there's still possibility for a 3.0.9 afterwards. This chart does not neglect that possibility.
Yeah, right. And the 3.0.8 RC phase, they show there are only bug fixes which are continuously merged back into develop-olympus.
Mm-hmm.
So and then below the 3.1 feature freeze timeline,
this is where we get to the fun part.
Yeah, this is the fun part for sure, because then that 3.0.x line that just becomes maintenance, I suppose. I guess.
Well, it'll continue to be maintained for 6 to 9 months even after 3.1.0 is released.
Right. So then you
That's
have the, then you have the develop line, which is yellow, merged over to the stable line of Ascrius, which is 3.1 stable. Mm-hmm. That's red. There's a
red,
little box that says
red, not because it's the same as the red for Olympus, but it has the same status, though it's still a different repository.
Right. So you have develop Ascrius is the stable 3.1 branch. Same process as develop Olympus. So every time you hit a release stage, it goes to green again. You see on the right below that feature freeze timeline. Start of branch, prepare release for 3.1 beta 1.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you have a release of that, it gets tagged as blue. So a 3.1.0 is a blue.
Of course, there'll be more betas and release candidates in between 3.1 beta 1 and the 3.1.0 final.
Right, yeah, and that'll all be green. You know, every time you have a green phase,
that's a nice little convenient gap in the arrows between the green and the final tagged release.
Right, and everything between beta 1, you know, beta 2, beta 3, all the way up through the entire beta phase, and then the RC phase, RC1, all that stuff is all green. And then once it actually reaches stable for download, that becomes that tagged blue. 3.1.0. And everything that's done in that green, again, same thing as above. Everything that's done in the green, 3.1.-beta1, beta2, RC1, all that stuff, anything that's, you know, that's, they don't want to change anything. They want to get it as stable as possible at that point. But any changes that have to go in, any bug fixes that has to go in, get merged back into red, which is that develop Ascrius branch. But then the green becomes the blue once it, you know. So that way, red continues on,
mm-hmm.
even when they're in a release stage. In a release stage of 3.1.0, you still want to continue developing new features for
3.2,
and bug fixes that aren't going to go into the RC phase. You might say, okay, well, these particular fixes, and there might be some cases of that happening, where they don't go back into green or the release phase.
And as for PHP BB4, that's an entirely different cup of tea.
Yeah, that's an entirely different flowchart.
But I think that's probably being handled separately, because PHP BB4 is going to be a complete rewrite, like how PHP BB3 was. So things that are fixed within these two branches under PHP BB3 probably would not be as applicable directly to PHP BB4, or if they were, they would be handled sort of on a case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
So were you looking at it as an SVG or the JPEG?
I was just looking at it as just built it as it appears right in the middle of the wiki.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can actually click, there's, you can view as large or in a as an SVG. SVG.
Yeah, I just went ahead and zoomed in on my computer screen. For that, but have you done any actual working with Git so far?
Well, all the development work that I do right now is with Git. I do the only current subversion repository that I'm working out of for any project is currently the live starter guide. Even the future starter guide is on Git. Mm. So yeah, I work with Git every day, all day long.
So you done any working on with PHPPP3 yet, or is it still?
No, I did fork the PHPPP repository in GitHub so that when I see a bug come through, I can just create a fix for it. What I would do is actually merge in their latest head master branch and then commit my changes and send it to one of the developers. I'd have to read the guidelines. They actually have guidelines on exactly how that should be done, and I haven't read that yet, and probably should. But once I do get to that place where I am going to fix a bug, then I will read that.
Hmm. So anyway, there's the move, and so hopefully we'll find out exactly how
it'll work. Yeah, really,
still
the biggest,
early on, huh, for this to be adopted.
Well, it is going to be it's going to be a hard adoption for a lot of people because, like I said, it is a learning curve, and a lot of Windows people have problems with Git, and so we've had some people who work really well with it, and some people who struggle with it, and it just depends. You know, Git there's a pretty severe learning curve to it. The documentation, while thorough, is confusing. So it doesn't really explain stuff that you're looking for. And then as far as errors go, they are very vague errors. So so the idea is to, if you get an error in Git, the best thing to do is actually search Google for that particular error and see if you can come up with reasons for it. And I've searched on Google for a particular Git error, and I haven't actually found anything related to my problem, but I've come up with the solution anyway, and so I've sort of been cataloging all these solutions. But one thing that you can do, if as for people who are wanting to work with Git and they're not understanding something, you can always ask either on Starter Guide or on phppv.com and the I think the mod writers discussion forum. Yeah, that would be the place to ask. You can also ask in IRC. Freenode.net channel, phppb.coding-coding, and also Start Your Guide channel. We will also be able to answer Git questions there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best thing to do. If you're not getting something, don't give up. Just ask someone who knows.
There you go. Moving on, I don't know if you want to do this today, David, or not, because I didn't give you much warning. But I know you wanted to spend some time talking a little bit about PHP frameworks, given in the context of how PHP BB4 will be using Symfony 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any. If you want to talk about that now, or you want to save it for a future week.
Well, I definitely want to actually dive into the development of Symfony 2. But right now, I'm waiting for MAMP to release. That's MAMP. MySQL, Apache, PHP on Mac, that's MAMP. They're in the process of getting their first version that supports PHP 5.3, which Symfony 2 requires, and PHP 4 will require. And so I'm just sort of waiting on that so that I don't have to compile PHP myself. So I've only looked through some of the code on Symfony 2. Okay. I did find out some additional stuff on Symfony and Symfony 1 and things like that, and basically the Symfony is best for really large projects. There's lots of different frameworks out there. Between the Zen framework, you have Cake PHP, you have CodeIgniter, you have YII. There's lots of different ones out there. Cake PHP and CodeIgniter are actually built for a smaller project. It's a more compact framework, much easier and quicker to learn, has much better user guide.
That's why you like CodeIgniter.
That's why I like CodeIgniter. There is a reason I don't like CodeIgniter. I might have mentioned this before. The reason there is one reason to not like Code Igniter, and that being that the code is older. It actually was built to support – I mean, it was built when PHP 5 was around, but they made it compatible with PHP 4, which gave them a lot of limitations. Mm-hmm. So that's the one problem with it. I just heard from Ellis Lab about 2 weeks ago, and they have started development on Code Igniter 2.0. However, 2.0, while they will drop support for PHP 4, they are not explicitly stating that they are going strictly PHP 5 OOP, which means they're not going to just change everything, it doesn't sound like. They're just dropping support for PHP 4, which is kind of bad because there's a lot that you want to actually utilize PHP 5.2 and you know, and not just ignore PHP 4, but you actually want to utilize the full features of PHP 5. And I don't feel like they're doing that with Code Igniter 2.0. So that has me a little bit dismayed, but we'll still see. Hopefully they will. So what I ended up doing was I was looking around between, you know, I was looking for comparisons of the people who ran Code Igniter versus Symfony. And because Symfony's package is 5 times larger than Code Igniter's. It's so much bigger. And I'm like, okay, well, why would you want that much bigger? Well, the reason that you would want it that much bigger is because it contains so much more stuff. I mean, it contains so many more libraries and stuff to use than like a Code Igniter kind of system does. And so people would use it for very large web applications. The simpler or smaller web applications, which I view PHPB as a simpler or smaller web application, they would use a smaller framework like Code Igniter or Cake PHP. But so I feel like PHP 4 going on to Symfony 2 could be overkill. There are also some requirements on Symfony 2 that concern me a little. If it requires command line to install, and it might, that is going to kill a huge user base within PHPBB because there are a lot of shared hosting environments that cannot go on command line. They cannot use command line, and there are a lot of, you know, a lot of systems that cannot do that. You know, that's where you only have VPSs and dedicated server colocation hosted servers can actually use command line. So that could be a concern. Now, that said, I hope that Symfony 2 with PHPB 4 that they will make it so that it's not, that's not the case, but you still end up with a massive package. Symfony 2 is still a massive package being built, and then PHPB 4 being built on that. I think it could be a little bit overkill. Symfony is not known for their great development, and I actually posted that on the Area 51 forum, and Stefan Kupenschop documentation. I'm sorry, I meant documentation. Are you with me, Douglas?
I'm still here.
Okay. It just went silent. So their documentation has not been known to be that great, and I mentioned that on the forums. Stefan Kupenschop is like, we have great documentation, and he posted some links. And I looked through it, and I'm like, okay, he's pointing to books written by others as documentation for Symfony 1. And so anyway, I did a lot more searching, and okay, there is you can search through all the books and all the documentation and the code framework, and you would be able to eventually learn it. The coding or the learning curve is still really steep for it. There was a lot of people who went away who left Symfony because the learning curve was just too steep unless they were building really, really large projects. So that could hurt the modding community for PHPBB if the learning curve is too steep. So that is a concern that I have with using Symfony as opposed to a smaller framework and a framework that has a better user guide like Code Igniter. Now, Code Igniter, I actually found this framework called Kohana PHP that was built off of Code Igniter 1, and they went strictly PHP 5.2 and above and OOP and basically using all very similar code. The coding is much cleaner, I view, as in the Code Igniter and Kohana and also Yi than in Symfony. Symfony's is a little bit of a mess, and you kind of scratch your head as you look through it. Not Symfony 2, but you know, so there's some comparisons and some concerns there that I have with going with Symfony 2 for PHPBB, one being that it's especially overkill. I don't know whether these concerns are enough to actually deter them from using it, because Naderman seems pretty set on using Symfony 2 because of he's got some sort of connections with the Symfony 2 development and development team. So that could mean that we will see PHPBB 4 no matter what on Symfony 2, despite...
Could mean ultimately that any problems there are with Symfony 2 could be resolved.
It's really hard to say. I am following the development group on Google, and it's a very, very new... It's a big moving target right now, so it could be quite a while until that becomes to a point where they could actually start PHPBB 4 development. So that's one problem. If they went with a framework like Kohana or Yi, which is both PHP 5.2 and 5.3, they could start development right away because those are ready now. But if they're going to do Symfony 2, they're going to have to wait a while because they're still changing a lot of core stuff in Symfony 2 right now.
And their website says, you know, late 2010 will be the release of Symfony 2. You know, don't use it until then. Mm-hmm. The website's been saying, I don't know, maybe we should probably get Nils to come back on the show sometime and give us the other viewpoint. We got quite a bit from you, David, saying that it's a bad idea, but of course it's hard to...
Well, going with a framework is still a better idea than not. Mm-hmm. It certainly is a much, much better idea because that means you don't have to invent so many wheels. You know, you have between CodeIgniter, Sneaky Simeon, he says Django. Yes, that's another one. But the...
You just call him Stinky Simeon?
Sneaky.
I thought they said Stinky.
Stinky. No, not Stinky.
Okay.
The still going off of... Using a framework is still a much, much... It's much, much better than developing everything on your own, you know, developing your own database abstraction layer, your own template system, your own sessions class, and everything like that. Certainly, we're using CodeIgniter, for example, for a framework that we're, or a web application that we're working on now, and it makes development go 10 times faster just because all that, you don't have to reinvent all this stuff. It's already been done. You just use it. So still using, even if they use Symfony 2, it's still a step up from their current way of doing things. You know, Symfony 2 does have the benefit of being developed now instead of 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a benefit of using Symfony 2 as opposed to even something else such as Yi or Kohana PHP. I know Sneaky Simeon said that he left Kohana PHP because the community is pretty small with Kohana, but when we actually look at the code and look at the framework, it's a really, really nice, well-developed framework, and it's so clean and easy to use that it doesn't have the learning curve that a Symfony does. Even a Symfony 2 or Symfony 1 has a much steeper learning curve, and I think that sort of thing would still be better. But, you know, am I splitting hairs? I don't know. I'll have to wait until MAMP 1.9 comes out with PHP 5.3 and actually install Symfony 2 and start working with it to be able to really give an accurate assessment of the new thing. But it's even if you have a great code base in Symfony 2.0, if they don't have the documentation, or if they have just as quote-unquote good documentation as Symfony 1, it's going to be terrible. Because they need a much, much better user-friendly user guide. And they need to look at a framework like CodeIgniter for how they need to use how they need to create a user guide, because that would be much more beneficial to the community, and to mod authors working with PHPBB 4 are going to have much easier time with a better user guide.
So with our very brisk cliffhanger review of PHP frameworks, our very own David Lewis. Stick around. Well, we need stuff to talk about on future episodes, right? So,
yeah,
there you go. So, but
we'll leave that open for comments too. So, if somebody has some ideas of something, you know, there is that request for comments on Area 51. You know, it doesn't have a whole lot. Some people are like, well, you know, I don't like using this or I like using that. And it's like, okay, you know, but there's not really a whole lot there. So they need your comments. They actually need people to say something if you can.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because, quite frankly, a lot of what we're seeing in competitors developing forums is, whereas PHPV3 was very much about completing, you know, a lot of the demanded features that PHPV2 did not have.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else seems to take in the path of when they do their next rewrite of their forums by branching it out into more of a content management system type of thing with, you know, these blogs and social networking features and stuff like that. That seems to be what everyone else is doing. So now when we're talking about PHPBB rewriting, you know, what else can they really do that, you know, is dramatically attractive in terms of, because there's not very many more new features you can kind of very obviously place in the package out of the box.
Yeah, and that is something to consider too, because when you go with a Symfony 2 type of framework for PHPBB 4, you're utilizing only a very small percentage if you're just doing a discussion forums.
Yeah.
So then, but it at the same time, it does enable you to use or to expand to other areas. I don't know if PHPBB wants to do that. I don't know. I can't say. Right now, they would probably say, well, no, we don't want to do that. But I'm telling you, when they get in development with it and they're like, whoa, that was quick. We just developed the whole forum in, you know, a couple of months. Now what? You know?
And even then, you know, you'll rewrite the whole back end, which will be only major for like mod authors and stuff. But what's the attraction for end users? How is it? Are we going to see a completely different layout or a completely different methodology of creating forums in PHPBB4? Or is it going to be relatively similar to what we have now from an end user point of view? Is the main benefit going to be speed, or what's the deal?
No, like it'll actually be slower. It will be slower. But it won't be that noticeable. Because see, here's the thing. It will be so much more powerful in what it will be able to do. I mean, you have Doctrine, for example, which is a database relational mapper.
Yeah, I hear that. My question is, from the end user's perspective, from the person who is now sitting on PHPBB3 and is pondering when PHPBB4 comes out, what is going to be the features enticement that PHPBB4 will offer to give them a reason to update from PHPBB3? That's where I see a sort of how much further can you take it from a feature perspective?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say because we're at minimum a year out. Because
more than that, but yeah.
A lot. That's why it's at minimum a year out from seeing actual features, because you really can't start on PHPBB 4 until you have some sort of stable base to work from. But what you can do, and what they are doing right now, is they're taking feature requests on Area 51. The thing is, the big thing is going to be the forums that like to have lots of mods installed.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a real huge benefit to go with a PHPBB 4. Just even if all the features were exactly the same from PHPBB 3 to PHPBB 4 from an end user perspective, it still would be better to go with PHPBB 4 if you want to mod it at all.
Because PHPBB 4 is eliminating modifications in lieu of an extension type system.
Right, exactly. It's going to be much easier to extend. It'll have much better compatibility. There's so much more that you'll be able to do with it from a development perspective. That alone.
So in many ways, we're kind of looking at the snow leopard of PHPBB for PHPBB 4. Rewrite the back end, not so much in the way of new features, but very, very new in terms of platform.
Yeah, and now the one thing about that, of course, is that it is not going to be faster because the framework is actually much heavier.
Apparently smaller, either.
No, and it will be much larger and slower.
What's the benefit here? Should we update to PHPBB4?
And here's the thing. Right now with PHPBB3, they're spending a lot of time developing for the core. They're developing, you know, for the database abstraction layer, or even adding features to the template system. The thing is, that development will be so much faster when using a framework. You could spend time actually developing a lot of user-friendly features. I mean, all of a sudden, it's be like, Okay, well, you know what? We want a calendar option in there. Okay, well, that'd be easy. Mm. You know, who knows? It's so hard to say right now. It's way too early to say, okay, well, this would be the attractant. I know for mod authors, it's a huge attractant. For people who want modded boards, it's a huge attractant. But beyond that, it's too early to say.
So, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Good question to start pondering, though. You know, is have we gotten to the point, now that 3.06 has been out, are we at, and with S-Grace on the way, are we getting to a point where we're PHBBB maybe hitting a brick wall in terms of, you know, how much we can, you can
I do
within the context of a forum?
Here's the thing. I don't think so, and here's the reason why. Look at the mods and development forum and the mod releases forum and the mod requests forum. There's a lot of activity there. You have a lot. I mean, you have thousands of mods. You have between both mods and development and mod releases, thousands of mods and a lot of stuff that could be considered core features in PHBBB, which are not, or even optional, a lot more optional features. I mean, if you're going to expand the base with a Symphony 2, you know, you can add a lot more to it without, you know, some people say, well, isn't that bloat? Okay, well, first of all, using Symphony 2, you're not going to bloat PHBBB compared to Symphony 2. But really, it's all of it could be on-off options. Okay, I don't want this on. I don't want this on, but I want this on, and I want this on. So then it's more customized to the user. You know, right now, if you download PHBBB 3, there is certain customization, but you get something, and you don't get a lot.
Really? I'm using PHBBB 3 right now. There's so much customization that's scaring me.
Right. There will be even more. I mean, when you go, let's say, for example, you want to go download a mod for PHBBB 3, you'll have to download it. Depending on how big it is, you know, that determines how much time it's going to take. But anyway, you'd probably run it through AutoMod and have it automatically installed. Then you've got modified core files. So Symphony or the PHBBB 4 would be much easier to install a mod. You know, you just put the files in their locations. They've got hooks and plugins, extensions, accessories, you name it. And all of a sudden, you've got that extended functionality. And then you've got a lot of on-off options, I would assume. As far as user perspective, I really hope that it enables them to go much more jQuery. I mean, if you go completely jQuery-based, for example, that would be enough of a reason for everybody to switch, because it would make the user experience so much quicker. All of a sudden, your actions are twice as fast. You know, if you want to do something, or as a moderator, for example, you can do it in a fraction of the time using PHBBB 4 if it's jQuery powered than it took for PHBBB 3. As a user, posting, voting, anything like that, any action that can be done on the forum that uses jQuery is going to speed up that time so much quicker. Then it won't matter that the framework actually slows it down a little bit. And it's not going to slow it down so significantly that it's not good to use, but it won't matter now because everything is still faster for the user.
We'll have to see going forward, but we need to kind of
it's a lot of speculation this early in the game because they haven't even started on the database for PHBBB 4, and they're going to have to do that.
Have they started anything yet for PHBBB 4 code-wise?
Code-wise, no.
Nope.
Nothing. Everything has just been a lot of RFCs, which are requests for comments, and everybody's saying, okay, we want this feature, we want that feature. Really, right now, Nils is looking for RFCs that have to do more with the code base than the end user features. So they're trying not to look at user features right now. But I assume that a year from now, when we actually start looking at the user features and want to start implementing those, then you could see some really cool stuff coming through.
Well, I think Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, it wasn't.
So yeah, you got to do all these planning stuff before we can get into the fun. So. But speaking of fun, our time is just about up, so we should probably start moving on, start closing the show up with, of course, our mod and style of the week. Now, so for the mod of the week, I always love getting to show off mods that are like such no-brainer ideas that they should be included in the core. And this, I think, is one of those no-brainer ideas that should be included, at least as an option for the core. It's called Language Selection Mod by Typos, or typos. I don't know why. That's his username, given the context of this mod. But it's essentially very simple. Puts a drop-down box on in the upper right of your whatever theme you're using. In ProSilver, it's next to the font size icon. In SubSilver 2, it's just below where it says the current time, which lets any user dynamically select any one of the languages that is installed on your site. Meaning they do not have to be a registered member to localize the site into their preferred language. Because, of course, if you have multiple languages on your site, then anyone who was registered who can and choose the language they want. But that only works when someone registers on your site. Suppose they need to figure out how the heck they actually register on your site, and they speak a different language other than what your default is. Then they kind of find yourself in a little bit of a hole. So, very obvious kind of mod. There are currently having some discussions about a new version, which will, you know, include a more of an icon to sort of make it a little easier for people to also identify what the heck the drop-down does. But I think it's a very great idea if you're trying to make a website that serves an international audience, mm-hmm. And you want to be able to have the users be able to customize the language just for the sake of being able to, you know, figure out how they can register on your board as an example, or if they want to sample your board, because they would probably want to know, you know, what kind of stuff you're talking about before they actually decide to join. So a very nice mod. Go ahead, check it out. Language selection mod by Typos, mod of the week. What do you think, David?
I love it. In fact, it kind of reminded me of something, some default feature that Chrome has. If you view a board that is a German board, mm-hmm. it automatically says, it pulls up a screen that says, do you want to translate, this board is in German, do you want to translate it to English or another language?
Like using Google Translate?
Yeah, and that's what it does. You know, it uses the page Google Translate and translates it. But what it does is it does read that, you know, that the header listing for, okay, what language is this in, and then reads that. But one of the things about you know, using a multiple language board is that you can actually make it so that the board automatic, you know, the browser automatically says to the board, okay, we understand these languages and these orders, and then the board automatically will serve to you what language you prefer if it has that language available. But anyway, this is a nice alternative to that sort of option too.
Especially nice in this case because it's totally based on whatever language you have installed, and if you have languages installed, you know that those came from someone who knows the language, as opposed to Google Translate, which is a computer doing it. So
right,
this is a much better choice.
Right, except as far as forum posts go, people are generally not going to write those in several different languages.
That's the diff, but you know that couldn't be changed. You know,
right? Yeah, but there are a lot of I know there are a lot of international boards out there which like to include a couple different languages. Like there was the Vietnamese board that has Vietnamese and English, or you'll see French and English and that sort of thing. So I definitely think this will come in handy for those types of boards. Fresh English-only speaking people, while we'd like to sort of serve content in other languages as well, we don't.
We're working on it. The style of the week, this is also a pretty fun one. It's called Star 2.0 by PlanetStyles.com is the username. Kind of an interesting theme. It is ProSilver-based, so it took me a little bit of time to find it. You know, very nice galaxy type theme.
Mm-hmm.
David, what are your thoughts here?
I like it. It's pretty for you know, it's not, it's actually, it's a light style on a dark starry background
with a little bit of like a transparent glass or plastic sheet protector type of background covering it too, which is kind of cool.
Right, and it's sort of there. A nebula look to it. I like it. It's a they call designed by Planet Styles.
Yeah, how about that? Perfect, huh? It did a pretty good job of also making some customizations to the ProSilver layout in terms of making, you know, it's a very light header up there, sort of like a little bit more portal style type of thing, I guess, I don't know, but very kind of light navigation bar which is very easy to read and access, but doesn't sort of stick out at you the way that Pro Silver normally does. It makes it a lot nicer to sort of be able to focus on the forums.
The view topic still is just uses basic Pro Silver. It just essentially wraps into the Pro Silver layout. They didn't change a whole lot of look in the view topic.
First impressions are what it's about, right? Still, I mean, very nice theme. If you like sort of the galaxy look, I like it. So, because I always kind of like the galaxy look and the nice little the contrast between the white and dark. So go ahead, check it out. Star 2.0 by PlanetStyles.com is the style of the week. And one other thing, every so often we do kind of like to show off something a little different from our normal modern style. And so I've decided to give these a name because we've done this enough. This is our first ever PHPBB weekly notable quotable. This is actually something that I got a tip off. It is not entirely a mod. It's also something still in development, but it's something that we want to keep our eyes on. Des DeNova, who is also known as Obsidian, one of the friends of the show, he is actually announced this past week. He's working on an unofficial PHPBB mod author welcome package, and the goal is, according to this page, is to attract independent developers and help them get started with modifying PHPBB by providing them with some helpful tools for development, educating them on the infrastructure and coding practices in PHPBB, and giving links to useful resources that will come in handy when developing mods. He's developing this project using Git. He's also looking for people to contribute. He has syntax error 90s work helping him with it, and has some minor contributions from Igor and from Atomba 25. There's a lot of information here about how you can sort of write entries and contribute to the Git repository. So it's still not entirely clear exactly what the format of this is going to be, but it certainly sounds like a very intriguing idea, and so it's in development and something we can kind of keep an eye on. And if anyone wants to help him out, I'm sure he'd love the help.
Yes. One other thing, real quick, the customization database repository has been made public. You could see it if you go to code.phpbb.com.
Oh boy!
I'm not going to go into details about that. We'll save that for a later episode as to why and what you can do and what that is all about. But if you are interested in assisting in any way with the development of the customization database,
this is the infamous Titania.
Yes, Titania. For phpbb.com, you'll want to send a private message to David IQ, the mod team leader, and tell him you saw that in there, or you heard it on the show or whatever.
Tell him you heard it on the show. The ninth person to call in will win a free car. And by a free car, we mean a free card with a picture of a car.
A little toy truck.
not even that. There you go. You were saying.
Picture of a car. Yeah. If you're interested in helping out with the development of the customization database for phpbb.com, which is nearing completion, or at least nearing a debut anyway.
Yep.
Which would be a thousand times better than the current database. Go ahead and send David IQ a message, and hopefully you'll be able to contribute in some way. But there's a lot of code there that's kind of could be interesting and worth looking over. There's a lot of stuff there. So anyway, that information could come later when we actually talk to David IQ and say, hey, what's this all about? So.
And that wraps up this episode of PHPBB Weekly. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes, links of all the topics we talked about on this show, plus all of our other shows. Our forum is at StarTrekGuide.com. Work on BBvasion will be beginning around mid-April, but if you want to offer your thoughts, bbvasion.com/community is the forum for that. You can offer your thoughts, and if you want to help out with the development, we'd love to hear from you, so that would be great. We'll talk about that more on future episodes of the show. And of course, OSCONvasion 2010, the topic is also going to be linked if you are interested in offering ideas for that. Those are sort of the lists of... And of course, if you also have thoughts on the PHP framework, frameworks. These are all the different topics we mentioned this week and love to hear your feedback on. So feel free to let us know. Head over to our forum or the other respective topics and give us your word on that. Next Saturday, April 3rd, it's a very big Saturday. Not only is the iPad coming out in the morning, but in the then when I come back in the afternoon, it is our annual April Fool's Day episode. Woohoo! Last year, it was BB Gourmet cooking for your community. The year before, it was V Bulletin Weekly. The year before that, I didn't think to put one together, so that sucked. But what are we going to do this year? You don't know. We actually don't know yet, but we're going to decide next week. But it is going to be after April Fool's Day because, you know, it's a Thursday and we can't get it exactly right. But it's still our excuse to be able to just once a year do something completely silly, not counting the Bernie Mons election because that isn't completely silly, but that's not related. but to do something completely random and silly and fun just for the halibut. So I know we're not cooking halibut. That's just an expression. But be sure to join us and listen in and have a little bit of fun with us on Ustream next Saturday, April 3rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 1700 UTC time. I know that people's daylight savings times adjustments change at different points, so keep an eye on what the starting time of our show is. Be sure to join us for that. Also, mark your calendars. Saturday, May 8th. Will be our 150th episode, our sesquicentennial, as it's called. And so I don't entirely know. We don't know yet if we're going to do anything special, but I'd like to try to do something along the lines of something special for that Saturday. So mark your calendars. We'll try to have something fun for you, and we'll let you know as soon as we have that planned. But our sesquicentennial on Saturday, May 8th, will be a lot of fun. That's also my first day back home for summer vacation. Woohoo! Back in the Bay Area for about 3.5 months. About one more month here in D.C., so it should be fun. I think that's all I got, unless you have anything else worth noting, David.
Nope, I think we've consumed enough time for today.
Yes, and you have been listening to me for the first time on my brand new USB headset from Logitech.
And wouldn't you all agree that he sounds so much better in this?
Probably not. There you go. All right, so that's it. Thanks for listening. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag.
You're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.